That's my boy. That's what God said. That's my boy. God the Father said it of Jesus the Son in his baptism. It's what the Father said in the story of the prodigal son, if you remember. Those weren't the exact words that he used, but that's what he said. What he said was, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Put a robe on him. Kill the fattened calf. We have to celebrate. This is my son who was dead and is alive again. That's my boy. That's what those things meant. That's my boy. This is my boy. Some of y'all have heard me tell a story that came out of Columbus, Georgia some years ago. Billy Pittman is a local pastor in the United Methodist Church, and he's a part-time high school baseball umpire. And he tells this story firsthand. There's a young man who came up to bat in the ninth inning of the second game of a three-game series with his team down a couple of runs. And however many they were behind, one or two was the number of runners that were on base, and he got up to bat with two outs. He was their last chance. They'd lost the first game of that three-game series. And it was like Hollywood wrote the story. However many strikes he got on him, the second or third ball that came across the plate, he hit across the fence to win the game. And over all the tumult, Billy says that he and others could hear a father who was standing on his feet, pointing his finger, going, "That's my boy! That's my boy!" Just over and over and over again. And those of you who've heard me tell this story before know that the next night, virtually the same thing happened. It was the final inning. They were trailing. And however many it was going to take to win the game was what was on base plus him. And everybody just felt it. You know, after last night, how could they not? Everybody was just sure that they were going to win. And so they were yelling and screaming and cheering. And strike three came. And that young man just stood there dejected. And the fans on the other side, they erupted. They loved their kids too. They were excited for the win. And over all the screaming over there and all the murmurs over here, there was a father that stood up and said, "That's my boy. That's my boy." Listen, I don't know if you've had a moment in your life where God's Spirit has borne witness to your spirit and said, "You are a child of God." I hope that moment has happened for you. If it hasn't, I hope that you will listen today for the voice of God say, "You are my precious child. That's my boy." That's what God says of Jesus in his baptism by John in the Jordan. It's what the father of that prodigal says in all that mess he says. "That's my boy." And I believe it is what God wants every one of his children to hear. Our scripture this morning is the story that you've already heard. It's told very briefly in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Luke writes, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased.'" Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together, Lord, be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, meet us. Help us to hear your voice. And Lord, help us to be your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today in the calendar of the Christian church, we celebrate Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. That's not something that every church chooses to do, but if you're a church that follows the Christian year and the church liturgical calendar, that's what this Sunday is for a lot of folks all around the world today. They're remembering the occasion of Jesus' baptism. And for us, it's going to be an opportunity to remember not only Jesus' baptism, but our baptism. My hope is that this morning, if you're a baptized Christian, that you will find yourself being thankful for your baptism. I hope you will remember your baptism and be thankful. And if it's the case that you're a baptized Christian and you know that the truth is that you've not been living up to your part of that covenant relationship, I hope that you will take this opportunity this morning to renew that covenant. To take the opportunity again to say yes in a profound and abiding way to the relationship that God wants to have with you. We're in the second Sunday of our Say What You Need to Say sermon series. There are times in our lives when it's important to say what we need to say. Last week, we talked about learning to say, I'm sorry, and all the different ways that Christians can use those words to express something fundamental about the Christian faith. And this morning, the phrase that I think we need to say sometimes is, with God's help. You see, I was just talking about baptism as a covenant relationship, and one of the realities of that relationship is that we need God's help to live in it and to abide within it. It's not something that we're going to accomplish on our own. It's not something we're going to achieve in our own strength. It's something we have to decide to do. It's something that we're responsible to do. It's something that we do have to take responsibility for doing, but it's not something that finally we can accomplish on our own or achieve by ourselves. What we need to do is say to God, with God's help. What we need to do is say to the world, with God's help. Y'all know that one of the greatest criticisms of Christians and of the church is that we're hypocrites, right? You're familiar with this? I'm not asking about your personal life. I'm not getting like into your business. Although some people call that preaching. I'm not getting in your stuff. I'm just saying that, you know, in general, one of the criticisms of the church is that we're hypocrites. And one of the things we need to do about that is admit sometimes it's true, right? I mean, we need to just fess up. But there's something else we need to do in response to that reality, and that's this. We as Christians need to live honestly our brokenness before the rest of the world so that when they see us fail, they don't say, oh, see, you're a hypocrite. What they say is, oh, you too? You struggle with that too? Christians blow it too? We as the church and we as Christians need to live our faith honestly, and that includes our mistakes. It includes our failures. You see, the more we try to hide them or deny that they exist, the more we look like hypocrites. But the more that we're honest about the fact that we're still works in progress, the more we come across as real people, the more likely we are to connect with people who know that they're not like God wants them to be and believe that there's hope for them rather than just judgment for us. With God's help, I can. And there are a couple things, I think, out of the story that we just read about Jesus' baptism that maybe we need to say. I think some of us need to say, with God's help, I can be like John. Now, that's a tall order. John is described in the scriptures as being one of the greatest. Jesus says there is no greater born among women than John. And so it might sound like a daunting thing to say, or an arrogant thing to say, well, with God's help, I can be like John. But you heard what he said, right, in the video. It was never about him anyway. It was always only about preparing the way for Jesus. And what you need to know is that you can do that. You can be like John in that you prepare the way. For years, since coming to join you, one of the things that you've been hearing from me is that God created you to be a unique, never-to-be-repeated tool in his hands. God can use each one of you in a way different than God can use any other person in just the same way. You've got your own gifts. You've got your own life experiences. You've got your own network of relationships. You are you, and all God has ever asked for you to do is to be you for him full-time, full speed. Not every once in a while. And not you being who you want to be, but you be you for him. God wants you to use your life for his glory. And like John, you can prepare the way. It won't take the same form, but can accomplish the same end. In your baptism, you are called by God to the ministries of word and of service. In the discipline of the Methodist Church, we talk about all Christians in our baptism being called to the ministries of word and service. Preachers like me are also called and ordained to what we call sacrament and order, you know, making the sacraments available and ordering the life of the church. Did you know that you are just as called to the ministry of the word as I am as the preacher? You are called just as much as I am or Andy is to the ministry of service. We are baptized to word and service. In our baptism, God seals his claim upon our lives to be proclaimers and doers of the word to the ministries of word and service. I don't know if you believe that about yourself, but I'm telling you, it's true. Elsewhere in the scriptures, that's talked about in different ways. We talk about the priesthood of all believers and the ministry of all Christians. God's got a claim upon your life, and it's important for you and for me and for each one of us to respond to that. Now, it may take different forms in different seasons of your life. The fundamental issue is your decision to be available. Are you prepared to offer your life for God's purposes? Are you prepared to say yes to the claim he makes upon you? It may be that what you need to say today is, with God's help, I can be like John. With God's help, I can help prepare the way. With God's help, I can do ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. It may be that what you need to say this morning is, with God's help, I can keep my promises. My guess is all of us have made promises we haven't kept. One of the things that we need to remember is that in our own strength, on our own, we're pretty weak. To remind you of last week's sermon, we're sometimes pretty sorry. But with God's help, we can keep our promises. Not just whatever ones happen to be running through your mind right now, but the first I want to remind you is one specifically related to baptism. By God's help, we can keep the promise that we make when we baptize people at this church. Whether they are baptized as infants or baptized as teenagers or as adults, one of the things that we promise every single one of them and their families, their parents, and as the church, we promise to God, we say, with God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that this precious child of God, whatever their age, whatever their circumstances, that this precious child of God might be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. That's what we do. That's the promise that we make. Now, the question I want to ask is, how's that working out for you? Have you ordered your life in such a way that the people whose baptism of which you've been a part have found themselves established in the faith on account of you, confirmed and strengthened in their faith thanks to you, who know the way that leads to life eternal because of us? That's the promise that we make. It's big. It's hefty. And it's one that we'll only keep with God's help. That's why it begins with God's help. Isn't that cool? You just thought somebody just wrote those words, didn't you? No, they meant it. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that every child we have a chance to influence, every young man or young woman we get to love in Jesus' name, every adult believer that comes to Christ, that every one of them might be established firmly in the faith, confirmed, strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. With God's help, we can keep our promises. We can keep that one. And we can keep all the other ones we make, even the ones that are ill-advised. God wants us to keep our word. And if we find ourselves in a set of circumstances where we realize we have made a promise we shouldn't have made, then that requires a healthy, honest conversation, not just not doing what we said we were going to do. Sometimes we have to repent of our promises. Sometimes we have to repent of our commitments. Sometimes we have to reconsider our commitments. That's real life in a broken world. But we don't just not keep our promises. And remember, you're not going to keep your promises just by your own strength alone for very long, but with God's help. So maybe that's what you need to say some this year. Maybe that's one of those phrases that needs to be yours for this year. With God's help, I can be like John. With God's help, I can keep my promises. And with God's help, I can live the life God's called me to live. With God's help, I can be the man or woman that God's created me to be. Week after week, you hear me pray the same prayer. God, do in us what you've got to do so that you can do through us all that you want to do. God, do in me what you've got to do so that you can do through me whatever it is that you want to do. With God's help, we can be the men and women God created us to be. With God's help, we can become the men and women that God created us to be. It's not something that we're going to accomplish in our own strength alone. But by God's grace and with God's help, God can do in us what we could never have done on our own. It's the benediction you hear every Sunday. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. Maybe that needs to be what you say this year. With God's help. That's my boy. Have you heard that? Deep inside? Do you know that? Deep down in your knower? Wherever that is? That's my boy. I think every time we remember God saying to us, that's my child, you are my child, I think we need to add some words. And daddies want to help. And mamas want to help. The nature of being a parent is to want to see your child succeed. And I think that might be the most fundamental misunderstanding in our culture about God. I think there are folks out there that don't think God wants them to succeed at being who he's called them to be or doing what he's called them to do. God wants to help. Don't tell him I told this story, but I'm going to tell it. For Christmas, the boys got hoverboards, and they were on them like that. We came up here to let them ride around a little bit on Christmas Day after lunch, and it might have been two times, I don't know. But as Ash was getting on his, I just put my arm out if he wanted to take it. I don't know if he even remembers that. Because like I said, both of them were on that thing just so fast. I don't know how in the world they learned to do it so quickly, but they did. But I was determined to be next to him like this so that he could put his arm out if he needed to. He didn't need too much. I don't know what those moments have been in your life. I don't know if it was with a child learning to ride a bike, running along behind or beside. I don't know if they said, don't let go, don't let go, don't let go. Or if the whole time they were going, let go, let go, let go. Because no matter what they said, your heart was the same. God wants to help his children with God's help. That's the way we live our lives. This morning, I want to invite you to remember your baptism and be thankful. I want to invite you to remember the baptismal promises that you've made, that you've been a part of over the years. And I want to invite you to make confession if the truth is that you've not always been as faithful to that as you know you should have been. I want to invite you this morning to a time of personal prayer that begins, God, with your help, and then you fill in the blank about whatever it is the Lord's been talking to you about. But I do hope you'll hear me at this point. I don't want to have worked so hard to make one point that I accidentally make another point I don't intend to. To say that we cannot do something in our own strength and that we can only do something with God's help does not let us off the hook for the choices that we've made, for the things that we've done, or the things we've left undone. We're responsible for the choices that we make. We are responsible, and God is able. I'm serious about remembering your baptism and being thankful, and I'm serious about renewing that covenant of baptism. So I want to share one more story with you, and I'll quit. It's a story about an 80-year-old man who had an 8 o'clock doctor's appointment. And he felt very, very rushed that morning. He expressed that to the doctor. He said, I'm in a hurry. I've got somewhere to be at 9 o'clock. And the doctor asked him what was so urgent. He said, every morning at 9 o'clock, I have breakfast with my wife at the hospital. And the doctor, naturally enough, inquired about his wife's condition. And our guy explained that his wife suffered from advanced and profound Alzheimer's, and that for something a little more than 5 years, she had not known who he was when he came to visit with her. And I think without thinking, the doctor just sort of blurted out, well, why do you go? I mean, why do you go every week? Why are you so passionate about that commitment if she doesn't even know it's you, if she doesn't even remember who you are? And that man looked at him and said, well, because I remember who she is. If you've forgotten who he is, if you've forgotten your commitments, if you've stepped away from the covenant relationship that God called you to in your baptism, if you have forgotten your commitments, take heart. He has not forgotten you. I just want to invite you this morning to take a moment to take seriously your baptism. There's a bowl with some water and some rocks. If you're baptized, I would like to invite you to come and just dip your hand in the water. If you want, take one of the rocks just as a reminder. If you've never been baptized and you would like to be baptized, I'm just going to hang out over here, and I would love to talk to you. But if you've been baptized, remember it. Be thankful. And if, like many of us, you haven't always been faithful to that relationship, that covenant can be renewed. The good news is that God still is as close to you as your next breath. God is still as close to you as he was in your baptism. And maybe as you do that, you need to say, with God's help. With God's help, I'll be faithful. With God's help, I can be like John. With God's help, I can keep my promises. With God's help, I can be who God created me to be. I can live the life God called me to live with God's help. I'm going to ask the band to come and lead us as we close. And I do want to invite you, if you'd like to come forward, and if you just decide to stay where you are, I invite you to pray a prayer that begins, Lord, with your help, I will, and then just let God deal with you about whatever it is that God's been putting on your heart. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love for us. Lord, we are grateful for the great privilege that we have of renewing a relationship with you, one from which you've never departed, but which all of us from time to time have forsaken. Lord, remind us of our baptism. Lord, help us to express our thankfulness to you. And Lord, make that relationship whole and right and rich again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.